We continue with our coverage on Radio Islam International. 20 years ago, you know, the day the world changed forever, and we take a look at the fateful day that changed the entire world. This time we're talking to Stephen Zones, Professor of Politics at San Francisco University, live from the United States of America. Stephen, good day to you.
Good day.
Can you remember, what were you doing that fateful day 20 years ago, Stephen?
Well, I live on the West Coast, so it was still pretty early when the planes hit the towers. I was awoken by a call by an editor of mine. Quite horrible. I mean, I've been in war zones in various other parts of the world, but nothing quite prepared me for this happening in my own country. I must say, though, I never really got a chance to grieve because I was immediately worried about how the United States would respond and how the United States would likely inflict far greater terror elsewhere in the world.
Yeah. Stephen, do we know the truth of what actually happened that day?
I mean, there's no question that Al-Qaeda was responsible for it. We still don't know is the incredible incompetence of the Bush administration, how they ignored many intelligence reports that were indicating that something along those lines was going to happen. And we don't know, of course, the full extent of the lies of the Bush administration in justifying the subsequent wars that were used around which the 9/11 attacks were used to justify. But I think there's no question about culpability by Al-Qaeda and Osama bin Laden.
Yeah. Regarding the United States, how is the United States dealing with the withdrawal of troops? Does it have an extra significance now on the eve of 9/11? Stephen?
Well, I mean, it raises the whole question about why the United States insisted on having a war on terrorism. The threat from Al-Qaeda was not really from Afghanistan. The terror cells that were responsible were based in Germany and the United States, and high-altitude bombing of a country on the far side of the world is not the most efficient means of rooting out such terrorist cells. Indeed, the large-scale killing of civilians, the Islamophobia, political repression. I mean, this kind of thing is just the kind of formula that would breed more terrorism and more extremism. Would not object to, paramilitary operations by U.S. or other forces to root out terrorist cells, but making war for 20 years on Afghanistan and supporting warlords and opium magnates and other corrupt officials and bombing the countryside and this sort of thing. I mean, it was these kinds of policies. It raises serious questions about why the United States seems to respond to so many different things with this impulse to go to war on a massive scale.
Yeah. Did the world change that day, never to return to how it was ever before?
Well, I mean, the fact is that there are plenty of other countries that have suffered widespread killing, that political violence, and it changed because the United States, instead of simply inflicting that kind of violence in other countries, became the recipient of that kind of violence, and as a result, it ended up taking a whole series of actions which have transformed the world. As many ways, it was the U.S. reaction that transformed the world rather than the attacks themselves, even though they, of course, were indeed tragic. They were used as an excuse for a particularly militaristic and racist form of U.S. imperialism and militarism. And the So that I think was a real transformative thing, more so than the attacks themselves, which could have been responded to in a better fashion.
Yeah, Stephen, the speed and the efficiency with which Taliban forces were able to complete the occupation of most of Afghanistan, as well as the quick collapse of the Afghanistan government, has led to criticism of President Joe Biden's decision to end United States presence in Afghanistan and of the withdrawal logistics. In your opinion, Stephen, how and why did a military superpower fail in Afghanistan?
Well, it was a house of cards. It was a Ponzi scheme. I mean, the government the U.S. was supporting in Afghanistan was so corrupt and seen as illegitimate by so many Afghans. It was simply one that wasn't worth fighting for. I mean, the Taliban is a particularly reactionary, misogynist, nasty group. I'm no fan of the Taliban, and most Afghans aren't either. But the Afghan government just really had lost any kind of credibility, and many people fought for the Taliban not because they agreed with their reactionary views and their distortion of Islamic values, but because they were the resistance to what was seen as a foreign occupation and a puppet government. And so it was much more. Afghan regime, at least on paper, had four times as many troops as the Taliban. They'd been trained for many, many years by U.S. forces. They had all the sophisticated equipment. They had an air force. I mean, so it was much more of a political collapse of the Afghan regime than it was a military victory by the Taliban.
Right. Stephen, thanks for the information, sir. Nice talking to you live from the United States.
Well, my pleasure. Thank you.
Take care, sir. Bye-bye.